Hi, friends. Welcome to the Get Off Your Affirmation podcast. I'm Leona Evans, and I'm here today, as always, with my son and co-host, Matthew J. Evans.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Well, today we have a fascinating topic. It's one of my favorites to think about because we are in a spiritual discipline called unity. It's part of the New Thought movement, and it's a progressive spiritual movement, and it stresses that we are born in love, that we are born good, not as sinners, but as individuals who are blessed by a universe that supports us to make the most of our God-given potential. Now, the question is, do we sometimes take too much responsibility? Do we sometimes blame ourselves for things that don't manifest the way we think they should? Do we put excessive self-blame on ourselves for things that might just necessarily be a part of life, a part of evolution? So I thought today we would go through some of our basic beliefs and ask some of the questions about what in our teachings causes us to experience excessive shame or guilt because we didn't do enough or because we didn't think correctly. So, you game for that today?
Yeah, that sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Well, our unity teachings are based in the oneness of all life. We stand for diversity, equity, and inclusion. We support the well-being of our planet. We celebrate each individual in the pursuit of their highest ideals. And we aspire to do all we can to make a positive and loving difference in our world.
Unity celebrates the presence of God, or Spirit, inherent in all life. We believe in the power of our mind to connect with our divine nature, and through the power of affirmative prayer, manifest the deepest desires of our heart. We believe our body is comprised of divine energy and is responsive to healing prayers. In fact, the Unity Movement was founded on the power of positive prayer.
Yes, it was. And as a number of you might already know, Unity's co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, suffered from a severe lung ailment from the time she was a small child. After she married Unity's other co-founder, Charles Fillmore, and had three children, her tubercular symptoms flared up again. And this time, the doctors told her they could no longer treat her and had exhausted all of their medical resources. They also reminded her that she had inherited her illness from her father's side of the family, and there was nothing she could do about it. And so, Myrtle was left to her own devices.
Because both Charles and Myrtle had taken classes in New Thought metaphysics, they attended a lecture by a prominent New Thought teacher named E.B. Weeks, who, after talking with Myrtle, advised her to speak this affirmation: "I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness."
Powerful affirmation. And Myrtle was thrilled with this statement, and she took the affirmation on as her own. "I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness." Now, this statement has been the subject of much debate throughout the years. Some people have said that she was discounting the validity of hereditary illness and pretending it didn't exist. But I don't really see it that way. I believe she was asserting her freedom over the power of heredity to interfere with the quality and length of her life. There is a big difference between those interpretations. Now, the first one implies that there's no such thing as heredity, which she didn't say, and of course, we don't believe. And the second one states that in this instance, in this situation, heredity has no power over her health and well-being. You see the difference, don't you?
Yeah, it's a really interesting distinction there. And after Myrtle began repeating that affirmation, she was willing to take on the responsibility of overseeing her own healing. Now, the next question was, how was she to embark on her healing process?
Well, one day, as Myrtle lay in bed, she noticed a tiny worm crawling on her windowsill. She asked herself, what was the difference between her and the worm? Why couldn't the worm make a body like hers? And after giving this idea some thought, she concluded that she, as a human being, possessed a superior level of intelligence. And then she realized that she could use her intelligence to transform and heal her body.
Here are Myrtle's own words. I went to all the life centers in my body and spoke words of truth to them, words of strength and power. I asked their forgiveness for the foolish, ignorant course that I had pursued in the past when I had condemned them and called them weak, inefficient, and diseased. I did not become discouraged at their being slow to wake up, but kept right on, both silently and aloud, declaring the words of truth until the organs responded. And neither did I forget to tell them that they were free, unlimited spirit. I told them that they were not corruptible flesh, but centers of life and energy omnipresent. It took Myrtle 2 years before the healing process was complete. Her healing became known throughout Kansas City, where the Fillmores lived, and became the central event around which the Unity Movement was founded 133 years ago.
This is really important that this healing took her 2 years because the doctors had only given her 6 months.
Mm, yes, that's very true. She overcame quite a bit there.
Indeed, and every moment after 6 months was like a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and every day that passed caused her to be stronger and stronger in her beliefs. And so this is a very, very powerful story. Now, at the center of Unity Village is the prayer ministry called Silent Unity. They're open for prayer requests 24 hours a day and are one of the largest prayer ministries in the world. Unity uses the method of affirmative prayer to give thanks that all manner of healing is possible, and many individuals around the world have benefited immeasurably from these positive prayers. Unity students believe that if we become responsible for the quality of our own lives and engage in affirmative prayer, those prayers will be answered. Now, this belief has a downside, of course, because if we're not careful, as we said before, we can take on too much responsibility and end up frustrated and defeated if we don't manifest what we call a successful outcome.
One of the most important questions we can ask ourselves as Unity students is how much responsibility can we take for what happens in our lives? In the old paradigm, humanity was seen as powerless over life's circumstances. Things happen because of luck or fate, or because the transcendent superbeing, God, willed it that way. It was assumed that negative things took place in our lives because we had sinned in some way and were being punished.
Yes. In an effort to liberate ourselves from feeling totally helpless, however, many of us have gone too far in the opposite direction. We've gone from feeling completely powerless to affect our circumstances to believing that we have absolute control over everything that happens in our lives. Now, this illusion of power is not the result of a paradigm shift, but of a pendulum swing.
Too often, when we're faced with a challenge, well-meaning truth students will ask, how did you draw this into your life? This question can refer to everything from getting a flat tire to contracting a life-threatening disease. The implication is that if we had been holding the right thoughts in mind, we should have been able to prevent these things from happening. At this point, instead of feeling supported in our time of vulnerability, we feel shame for having brought it on ourselves. This phenomenon is often referred to as New Age guilt, and anyone who has had a relative who has gone through a terminal illness or who has had some kind of life-threatening situation can really understand how insulting and infuriating that can be.
Yes, it is. It implies that we have control over situations that we don't even understand,
right,
as human beings, that are so far beyond our level of awareness. And so we pray for healing And we want healing, and healing is the operative term that we use, but healing can often be different from a cure.
Yes, healing can come in a lot of different forms, but the most important thing is to not be assigning ourselves guilt or assigning other people guilt for things that are really out of the control of human beings.
Well, and this is a very important part of our teachings too, because coming from a place where we're miserable sinners, and certainly mainstream theology has given us that impression over thousands of years, going from there to you are free to create your world, it doesn't necessarily mean we're free to create the world, but we are free to create our world as we understand it. And if we don't feel happy or positive with the belief system that has created what we see, we have the opportunity to change that. We have the opportunity to think of ourselves as more valuable. We have the ability to see ourselves as more successful. We have the ability to see other people as more trusting and valuable to us. There are so many things that we can do to enhance the power of our mind with positive thoughts and make a difference in our world. But it doesn't mean that we have the same effect over other people and can control what they do or how they do it, or can control the way our body responds to certain situations at certain times. In many instances, our positive thinking and powerful thinking and taking personal responsibility is a wonderful thing. But there are times when we ask too much of ourselves, and we really need to go deeply into meditation, and we really need to study the teachings that will help us understand that no great hero, no spiritual mystic has ever gone through this life without experiences that look like, feel like crucifixions. But we've also experienced resurrections. So anybody that thinks that going into these New Thought Unity teachings is going to give us a challenge-free life, well, that's a level of denial that we really need to work through.
Yeah, that fallacy of control, that we can really make anything that we want or need happen, you know, it's such an interesting kind of paradox, kind of accepting that, yes, we can make our own reality, we can live our best lives and attract the things that we want in our lives. But even in using the examples of the old paradigm, the story of Job didn't necessarily do anything wrong, but sometimes, to put it another way, stuff happens, and we can't assign ourselves blame or shame for that.
Well, we can't, but we do, because we're used to it.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And we're used to pounding our chest, and we're used to taking self-blame, and I just don't know anyone who doesn't. It's a really hard thing to say, but genuine self-esteem based on genuine self-love is a rarity. As Arun Gandhi always says, the names that we call ourselves in the recesses of our own mind are enough violence, passive violence, to take care of any people out there that might call us names. No, we do that, and we have to figure out not only how not to do it, but to realize there's a big difference between loving ourselves and accepting ourselves genuinely with our flaws, and at the same time doing everything we can to correct and to move forward into more sophisticated levels of behavior. So the pendulum has taken us from feeling inadequate because we've sinned to feeling inadequate because we fail to make the right use of our mind power. And all that has really changed is our vocabulary, not our actual mindset. We still carry the burden of guilt, but for different reasons. And so rather than bringing us closer to God, we continue to feel alienated and judged, whether or not we experience this guilt overtly or subtly. It has serious implications in relation to our feelings of self-worth. So we ask, what is our responsibility in life? Is it to analyze every single thing that happens to us and judge it with either self-praise or self-blame? If we continue in this mindset, we'll find ourselves operating under the misperception that if we only did the right thing, we would live a pain-free life.
There is, of course, a great deal we can do about changing our external circumstances. We know, for example, that many diseases are stress-related. We can take responsibility for monitoring our stress levels and learning more effective coping mechanisms to enhance our physical and emotional well-being. We can utilize things like biofeedback, meditation, prayer, diet, vitamin therapy, and other effective life skills. All of these practices contribute greatly to the reduction of stress in our lives. But does this mean we will never become ill or depressed? I don't think so, because sometimes things happen. But we can take responsibility for doing a little bit every day, or however much we want to do, for trying to better ourselves.
Indeed, exactly. But it doesn't have an absolute conclusion that if we don't reach, it means we failed. Now, another example, we know that practicing forgiveness and maintaining a healthy, loving attitude toward others will significantly enhance the quality of our relationships and produce greater peace of mind. Miraculous transformations can take place when we accept this type of responsibility. But does this mean everyone will always like and approve of us? No. Because that can't be a realistic goal. We're all different. We're all unique. And even if we have the greatest alto voice in the world, someone who only likes sopranos is not going to be into what we do. And that has nothing to do with how we work on ourselves or how attractive we are. It just means that that's a goal that's unreasonable.
Now, it's also important to be proactive in our business undertakings, to cultivate a prosperity consciousness, to engage in fair and equitable business practices, to render excellent service, and to be fair-minded and compassionate with employees and customers. But does this mean we'll never lose a job or declare bankruptcy? No, of course not.
The truth is, we cannot take responsibility for everything that happens in our lives. Again, even the greatest of spiritual masters have endured times of great challenge. This is not because they weren't good enough or evolved enough, but because challenges are a part of life.
We can, however, take responsibility for how we respond to the things that happen to us. If we choose to look at a difficult situation as a learning experience rather than a failure, we'll be far more able to handle it with internal poise and equanimity. If we choose to believe the situation can provide us with hidden blessings, we will take responsibility for finding them.
And that is exactly what we mean when we say we change our world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I believe that terrible things always happen to me just when I think I'm doing well, then I will take that event or that situation and I will find all of the wrong and terrible things in it, and I will assume that somehow I deserved it or I didn't do something right, and I'll be really, really disappointed and mad and angry because the universe doesn't support me. But if I see the world as a world of opportunities, if I see myself as someone worthy of experiencing the best in life, then when the same challenge occurs, I'll see it differently. It will still have the same impact on me, but I'll see it as a learning experience, not as a punishment. I'll see it as an opportunity to examine it and find things in it that I can use for a greater good. It'll be an entirely different experience. Remember, I didn't change the world. I changed my world, and that is something I can always have control over. And so as we continue our studies, as we gain greater self-knowledge, we can learn to observe our tendencies toward excessive guilt or self-blame and not judge ourselves or others too harshly. Do you want to share that Eric Butterworth quote, one of my favorites? He didn't originate it, because it originated a long, long time ago, but he made it popular. I love Eric Butterworth. Any of his books that you choose to read will be a great experience for you. But he said this.
He said, "Things may happen to us and things may happen around us, but the only things we are really responsible for are the things that happen within us." And that just sums it up perfectly there, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And each of us can get off our affirmation and make an effort at determining and working at things that we can control and work on accepting and recognizing and understanding things that we can't.
Thanks so much for listening to the Get Off Your Affirmation podcast. Please get in touch with us on our website, getoffyouraffirmation.com, or on our Facebook page. Look forward to hearing from you.
Have a wonderful week. You deserve it.
Thank you.